Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. Hope you're finding ways to stay cool. We're grateful for this opportunity we get to be together in this way. And as you all know, we value the great diversity of voices that share during our homilies, week in and week out. And this week, again, we have the special treat of our good friend, Scott Erickson, who is an amazing artist and painter. He's done some work for us at Vesper, and he's going to be sharing with us and opening the scriptures this morning. So we welcome Scott.
I want to start our time off together by reading a poem, and it's by Rabia of Basra, an 8th century Sufi mystic, and it's called It Works. Would you come if someone called you by the wrong name? I wept because for years he did not enter my arms. Then one night I was told a secret. Perhaps the name you call God is not really his. Maybe it's just an alias. I thought about this and came up with a pet name for my beloved I never mentioned to others. All I can say is, it works. I love this poem. I love this poem because it speaks to the reality of having intimate relationships, that you would have pet names and secrets. My wife and I have been married for almost 15 years, and we have a hidden life, a secret conversation. It informs our life and the conversations we have with other people, but the things we talk about are only between ourselves. It reminds me of when Jesus talks about prayer. In Matthew 6, when he's talking about prayer, and he just goes, don't be like these other people, these, you know, pagans and these religious folk who do all these long prayers and stuff. But he's like, there's a reward with that. But for you, you go into your closet, go into a secret place and have a secret conversation. And God will meet you in secret and have a secret conversation with you. And there is a reward for that. And this morning, I want to talk about an aspect of that reward from having a secret conversation. I want to talk about the practices of silence and solitude, because I think they're actually really important for the season we find ourselves in. And when we look to Jesus on how to practice silence and solitude, we see these rhythms throughout his life. We see many times when he would be teaching and he would go and leave and get by himself. But right at the very beginning of his ministry, and we see this in Matthew 4, it says that he goes into the wilderness and then a lot of stuff happens. And then when he comes out of the wilderness, the first thing he says is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He goes into the wilderness and then he comes out and he starts his ministry. Now, the wilderness can be lots of things. It can be the desert, it could be the woods, the mountains, the ocean. It's basically like a removal from society, a removal from all the narratives we're a part of. And there is times in our lives where we need a break, where we're like, I need a vacation, I need to get out of here. But there is also times in our life where we sense it inwardly, when we sense the push to go into the wilderness. Something deep inside of us is like, I gotta get out of here. I mean, you know this feeling. Surely your soul or your spirit has told you at some point, like, I need to get out of here. I just gotta get out of here. And the thing is that we are actually a culture that's very afraid of silence and solitude. My family moved to Austin in April, so right during the pandemic, and we've settled in. But you know, Austin has mostly been closed. There are parts of it that are open, but we've been getting around into nature and to rivers and stuff like that. But one of the things that I've noticed about Austin is that, you know, first of all, it's a large city, and so it is really hard to find a spot where nobody's at. But say you go out on a trail and you get to a place, you're going swim or something, and everybody there has brought like a Bluetooth speaker, right? And so you're going into the woods, into this place away from society. And then when you show up, there's different kinds of music. Mostly everybody has a really crappy playlist, and you can never get alone and you can never get silent. Look, and I get it. People brought their Bluetooth speaker because they want to have like a vibe and a whole thing and an experience. But I also think that there's something like underneath it all in our society where we're really actually afraid of getting to a spot where there's no noise. But maybe you don't have a Bluetooth speaker, but you have a phone. And it's not very often we get space from our phones. I mean, have you ever gone to the bathroom without your phone and you find yourself in the bathroom and you're like, what am I supposed to do in the bathroom without my phone? The function of the wilderness is to lead us into silence and solitude. So let's talk about what silence and solitude do to us. In prayer, we often connect with God through our words, our sentences, and our paragraphs, which are composed to connect with the divine, the giver of all things. And we participate in this rhythm of constantly drawing from. The thing is after a while, that constant drawing from, we start to find that our words become dry. They become empty. They become like parched with any real depth and meaning because they're just being exasperated. To be silent, to be alone, is the very act of being drawn into instead of being drawn from. The move from activity to inactivity, that is to say from doing to being, is to allow the wellspring of life to fill all that must be in us to live a life of giving. You can only give from what you have received. And to be silent is to allow yourself to receive. The reason Jesus invites us into a secret conversation, a place that we're alone, a place we can't be seen, a place in solitude, is because when we can't be seen, the only thing we're left able to do is be honest. And honesty is the doorway to hearing the voice of God. Now, honesty sounds like that's something really easy, but it's actually really hard to be honest, to get to a really honest place. Like I've heard other like Christ followers say like, oh, I don't want to say that to God. That's like too honest, as if God didn't already know all the hidden conversations and things we have inside of us. Like God knows, but maybe we don't know. And so the practice of honesty that we find in solitude is to get to the things that are really in us. You know, the honesty about how you feel like your life is going, how you think about the world, about God, your hopes, your dreams, your fears. And honesty is the doorway to hearing the voice of God. And when we listen to the voice of God, we're listening to the voice of love. And when we listen to the voice of love, that voice is always going to lead us to our true selves, your deep self, your beloved self, not the self that tries to earn love through accomplishment, a success, fame, beauty, celebrity, wealth, whatever. Not the self that tries to earn love, but the deeper self, the self that comes to know and understand that without having to do anything, I am innately loved, my beloved self. See, solitude is not being by yourself. Solitude is being introduced to your true beloved self. And to know your true self is to begin to know your vocation in the world. I love the word vocation. It's rooted in the word vox, which means voice. And so vocation is less of an activity of like setting upon some kind of thing you think you should do in the world, like some kind of higher obligations or noble acts. And more about listening to the voice of your life, listening to the giver of your life about who you are and how you are to do that out in the world. When we see Jesus go into the desert, he's in the desert for 40 days in silence and solitude, and then he comes out and he begins his ministry. This is the reward of a secret conversation. This is the reward of the wilderness. The reward of the wilderness and a secret conversation is that you begin to hear and know your vocation in the world. The season we find ourselves in, this kind of pandemic season, has really decentered us from the normal rhythms and practices and I guess normalcy that we found and actually gave a lot of identity to. And it's like left us floundering. It's really decentered us. Often, like, because some of us have lost our jobs and our schedules, a normal way of being. Like some of us now have, like, we have to be teachers. We weren't planning on being teachers for our kids. And the conversation often goes to when can we get back to normal, which is really to say, when can I get back to my old identity? And we need to realize that that's not happening, that died months ago. What we need to do is we need to go into a secret conversation, a secret place, with the God whose name is a name we've never mentioned to anybody. And we need to go into the wilderness of that conversation, instead of being drawn from, being drawn into, and in solitude, being introduced to our true self, and listen to the giver of our lives about who we are now and what is our vocation and calling in the world. This practice of silence and solitude is so important right now in this season of lost identity. May you find the space and capacity to have a secret conversation with your beloved. And in that conversation, may it find that your life, this life, that it works. Grace and peace.